this podcast is general in nature and hasn't taken your circumstances into account. It's important you consider your personal circumstances and speak to a financial advisor before deciding what's right for you. Any general tax information provided is provided as a guide only. Now, here's Shane and Deanna.
Thanks for joining us.
So this week we had the Reserve Bank board meeting, and it was pretty much unanimously expected that the RBA would keep the cash rate unchanged at 4.35%. as they have since November of last year. But there were some changes in the post-meeting statement. So Shane, what did you make of those?
Look, I thought this was a pretty significant meeting, or at least the post-meeting comments were, yes, the Reserve Bank yet again acknowledged that inflation is falling. That's good news. But it also said inflation's too high. It's still fairly cautious. It's still waiting for more confidence that inflation will head back to target within a reasonable time frame. So all of those things, you could argue, haven't changed much from where we were back in February. But what did change was the end of the statement, the final paragraph, where they replaced wording to the effect that they still can't rule out another hike with wording to the effect that they don't want to rule anything out or anything in, which sounds far more neutral. So that particularly taken with Michelle Bullock's, she's the new governor, with her comments that the Reserve Bank was feeling a bit more confident based on some data. That was all a bit vague, but that's what she said. I think that's telling us that they're getting less hawkish. They've probably moved to a neutral bias. It's the sort of thing you'd expect to see as they gravitate towards lower interest rates.
So how come she didn't want to actually outright call it a neutral stance on monetary policy? She was very careful in the forward communication.
Well, I think she doesn't want to provide forward guidance. In fact, she said something to that very effect, that I'm not going to provide forward guidance. So it's basically up to us to work it out as to what they're going to do and where they're going and when they're going to do it. And that's fair enough. Obviously, the Reserve Bank got burnt under Governor Lowe when they provided that forward guidance that they wouldn't raise rates till 2024. So I think she's trying to be as vague as possible. But if you look between the lines or even just look at what they're saying, it does seem as if they've become less hawkish. They've become, I think, neutral. They're getting more confidence, but they've still got a ways to go yet. And you could argue they can afford to wait because the economy hasn't collapsed. You know, I've thought, well, maybe the economy would be a lot weaker by now given all these rate hikes. That hasn't turned out to be the case. The economy has been far more resilient. So they sort of think, well, it's still growing, albeit only just. So they can afford to wait and see and get that greater confidence on inflation.
But it doesn't look like they need to cut the cash rate right now, or at least they don't appear to want to be seen to be cutting interest rates. So what needs to happen in the data from now on up until the point about when we see a rate cut? I mean, I think that their emphasis is really on inflation. So how does inflation data need to come in to see more confidence that they're going to get inflation within that 2-3% target band?
Well, I think that hits the nail on the head. They just want to see lower inflation and they want to see softer growth. So I think if we see a combination of inflation numbers coming in below their expectation for the middle of the year is about 3.5%. You could actually argue it's about 3.5% in the March quarter. Odds are we'll come in fractionally below that. By the end of the year, I think they're forecasting something like 3.2%. We think there's a good chance you could come in below that, maybe 2.8, 2.9%. If we just sort of keep tracking along a little bit below what they're expecting, now it's not going to do that every month. Yeah. You know, we've seen a bounce in fuel prices that's going to push up the February inflation numbers to some degree. But if as long as through the quarter as a whole, and generally speaking, the trend remains below their forecast, which it certainly did in the last quarter, and you get more evidence of higher unemployment, then I think that would give them that greater confidence, enabling them to ease monetary policy. And I think that's probably the path we're going to go down on. So it really depends on how quickly those lower inflation numbers come through, but we're fairly optimistic that they will. And that will enable the Reserve Bank to start cutting from around mid-year or thereabouts.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I mean, one of the big issues in all of this is services inflation. See, so when you think about inflation, you've got a bunch of things that we call volatile items like fuel and food. And us economists often take them out because there's not much the central bank can do to control oil prices or food prices, which are often dependent on the weather. We've seen good news on goods prices, and the Reserve Bank has acknowledged that, but they're also a bit wary about services. So that seems to be a bit of a focus. And I know you've done a bit of work on that recently. What do we mean when we say services, and what are the ones that are worrying the Reserve Bank?
So ultimately, services is anything that you can't really physically touch or consume. So if you think about things like housing or rents, holiday travel and eating out, personal care services, those areas have had still quite high inflation. And the reason for that is because services inflation actually tends to lag what happens in the goods sector. So goods inflation or the trends of goods normally leads what happens to services. We've seen that slowing in goods inflation, but it hasn't really happened as much yet in the services sector. And really that's been the case in a lot of countries like the US. So we're just kind of following that same trend. If we think about the key factors around services at the moment, the areas that have been driving the highest rates of inflation in services, it's really been around holiday travel, both domestic and international, and eating out as well. But those two areas are actually likely to see softer consumer spending growth, and they already have. Spending volumes for those two categories are actually negative compared to a year ago. And if you think about the pressures on the consumer this year, still elevated inflation, interest rates remaining high as well, even despite the fact that we may get some rate cuts around the middle of the year, and more of that fiscal burden from income tax or bracket creep. And you're still seeing a lot of pressure on consumers, and not to mention as well that we think the unemployment rate is going to be increasing even further. It's already up at around 4% or just over. But if you see any more upside from there, then that's obviously going to put some more pressure on consumer income. So I think that eating out and holiday travel spending inflation is going to come down. And if you look at forward-looking airline prices, they're already a lot weaker than where they were a year ago. The other major category in services inflation is obviously rent. That's quite a large share, about 30% of services inflation by weight. And rents are still an issue in Australia. We know that there is a massive housing supply problem. It's not being helped by record levels of immigration into Australia, which is still continued in the early parts of this year. So we may see some more upside pressure for rents in the first 6 months of this year. But if the Treasury is right in their forecast about lower levels of population growth, and they're trying to crack down on some of those visas, particularly for students, then we should see lower levels of population growth and immigration in the second half of this year. I think that will help rents as well. And then, of course, we have to think about wages growth, which ultimately drives all services inflation. It's kind of the key component of all services prices. And in an environment where labor market's weakening and likely to weaken even further, then it's going to be pretty hard to get significant wage gains. We've got wages growth running at about 4% now, which is quite high for Australia. It needs to be more at around 3%. But we think that ultimately wages growth is going to slow as the labor market weakens. And because the minimum wage decision that's going to be awarded in June is not going to be as high probably as it was last year, although that's obviously up to the Fair Work decision.
So overall, you see services inflation coming down and that sort of moving in a way which actually keeps the Reserve Bank happy.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at our own forecast, then we have inflation coming in at just under 3% by around the September quarter of this year, and that's before the RBA's estimates of inflation heading to that level. So, I mean, that's ultimately why we see the RBA cutting interest rates a bit sooner than they're probably expecting themselves, and also where financial markets are pricing it to at the moment.
So that's it, folks. You've heard it from us. We expect interest rate cuts from around mid-year. Obviously, I'd have to say there is a risk it could be delayed maybe to August, but it looks like we're heading in that direction. Obviously, that will be a supporting factor for the Aussie share market. Just think back to 2022, higher rates, and the thought of higher rates pushed the Aussie share market down along with global markets. And then, of course, low rates, or the thought of low rates, have been supporting markets more recently. So that should be good news as we get those rate cuts through. But just bear in mind that we saw 13 rate hikes. We're not going to see interest rates go back to anywhere near zero anytime soon. And I doubt very much that they're going to get anywhere near that in the next cycle. Yes, we'll get lower rates, but they're not going to go back anywhere near as low as they used to be. So thanks, Diana. See you later.
Thank you. See you.
For more info on Chain and Diana's podcasts and reports, head to the Insights Hub at amp.com.au.